Hey, 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 what's up, guys? Brandon and John, Altered State Podcast coming at you. Episode 73.
73. I got nobody.
Me either. Moving along.
Yeah, moving right along. Yeah.
So we had to take off last week. Had a little pet emergency at the Forrest household. But I wanted to jump right in. Well, you know what? I don't want to jump right in because you said you had a focus when you got over here.
I do. I am crystal clear in my head. So I am ready. What I meant was like I'm ready for the day.
So you don't have anything on it? You don't have agenda you want to hit?
So,
because I'm open.
Agenda. I don't know if agenda is right. I love Star Wars. Right? You love Star Wars.
Yep.
This week, I think I love it more than I ever have.
Is it just because of the holiday special you saw?
No, but I am very stoked on that.
When I saw that trailer, I was all grins.
Oh, I can tell you, for the first time since seeing Revenge of the Sith for the first time this week, Star Wars moved me to tears.
Really?
It did.
Really?
Just to contextualize this for any listeners, listening in a time capsule 50 years from now,
sure,
on fucking Mars, this was the week of the 2020 presidential election, right?
It was.
2020 being kind of the shit sandwich of a year it's been.
So far.
Naturally, this just continued being that,
yeah,
right? This was a week that the kind of the noise of the outside world has really been building for a long time up until this year. This week, for whatever reason, was the first time the noise just got too loud for me.
Okay.
I kind of had a little bit of a breakdown. And like realized a lot of it was my own doing.
Okay.
A lot of it was just kind of me not listening to myself or taking proper care of myself. I deleted the Facebook app off my phone. Didn't delete my profile,
sure,
but
sure,
deleted the app,
yeah,
because I realized I was probably irresponsibly just like things weren't bringing me joy. I was constantly distracted. And as the noise got louder, I kept listening into more of that.
That's a responsible move, I think.
So this week I was like, it was one of those things where I'd find myself, no matter how many times if I have something on the TV, I probably have my phone out too, or just like kind of generally being a little less engaged than I would like to be.
Sure. Not present.
Yeah. Right. And I tend to think of myself as someone who's usually pretty engaged.
Right.
But I really just let that shit get away from me. And then as I was kind of starting to unplug from external things, I was also just feeling real overwhelmed by the state of the world. And, I had some shit go on at my house that it was just kind of a stressful week. And I was like, man, you know what just kind of always brings me joy is Star Wars, because I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I realized that with the exception of seeing it in theaters, I watch Star Wars. I bet I see them all two or three times a year, but they're like, I tune in and out.
Sure,
I'm doing dishes. Yeah. I'm on my phone. I'm whatever. So I was like, I want to watch episode one. It's a movie that always makes me feel good, which is weird to say, as for you as a Star Wars fan, you're probably like, what the fuck?
Right.
But I think that movie is the, first of all, I was a kid when it came out.
No, I get that. Yeah.
So that was good. And also I think of all of them, it's the most fun.
I could see
objectively,
that.
Like the stakes are lower.
Right.
It's a kid's movie,
sure,
right? It's a lighthearted romp.
Right.
They continually get a little more mature after that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
Home Alone in Space.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. That's a great Home Alone in Space.
Yeah. I really wish I would have thought of that a long time ago.
Right. It's 100% what it is.
Yeah.
So I watched the whole thing, no distraction, again, for the first time in probably 20 years. And I fucking loved it. And I've always liked that movie. But, like, it was just something that, seeing it in fits and bursts.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I was like, wow. So I was like, you know what? I'm watching all nine.
Nice.
And I did.
In order?
Yeah.
Nice.
And in almost all of those movies, there was a moment that made me roll a tear.
I can understand that. They're quality pictures.
They're just like well made. I got to reinvest in the universe, and I think kind of tune out some of my own bullshit. But naturally, the gears were still turning in the background, so there was drawing from my own experience and just like
you don't
really appreciating the fucking storytelling.
You don't sustain what Star Wars sustains all these years and all these theme parks and on and on and on without having some substance and some story and something there for people to connect to on an emotional level.
It's not
just all lightsabers and flips. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's all icing, but there's got to be something
Meat there.
Right. Right.
And it's good. And like even the less good Star Wars movies are still really, really good.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Moments. Like, I don't think there's such a thing as a... There's not a bad Star Wars movie.
Right.
There's poor execution Absolutely. In moments right. of Star Wars movies, but there's not one that is objectively right. bad. Like, each one does an interesting, new, engaging thing.
Right, and obviously I like some more than others.
Oh, of course.
But, right, I'm with you 100%. So staying with Star Wars, did Mandalorian move you? We haven't talked Mandalorian yet.
Oh, God.
So we might as well just start with the first episode. There's no reason to get into Frog Lady right away.
And just also for future reference, if you haven't watched the first two episodes of season 2 of The Mandalorian, you might just want to turn this off.
Yeah, you're going
to. Because we're just going to talk.
No, you definitely should turn this off.
Yeah.
Because we're past 3 minutes in. We're good. We got your count. We got your download.
We'll see you next week.
Yeah. Go watch. If you haven't watched any Mandalorian, go watch it and come back.
Yeah.
So, having said that, wow.
I was fucking grinning ear to ear from the moment it started.
Yeah.
I feel like season one was a bit of a slow burn.
That's fair.
And I think most season ones need to be.
Yeah.
Like, I love season one in a big, bad way, but it took me a little bit more to like feel it.
Okay.
And this from the moment
it
started, I was just eyes wide open. I might as well have been 10 years old sitting, 3 feet from my parents' fucking tube television again.
And is Timothy Oliphant is slowly becoming top 5 American treasures. I mean,
when it comes to Westerns, he's
not only being a sheriff or a cop, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Have you seen were all the little comparisons that were on, are the little did you know is on YouTube? So the bartender in Mandalorian.
Uh-huh. The Weequay?
Yes. Was also the bartender in Deadwood.
No shit.
Yes. He was like the long-haired. I don't know. Would you watch Deadwood
at all?
Okay. He wouldn't know. So he was one of the main characters in Deadwood.
That's incredible.
I'll have to show it to you before. It's like a 15-minute thing of all these different connections of all these people who he's always played a sheriff with or whatever. It's insane. It's so great. The way he had the armor on and it was kind of acid burned.
Oh, right. Dude, the one thing that was interesting as soon as you saw him step up was like, I mean, Timothy Oliphant has always been a thin guy.
Sure.
Obviously.
Yeah.
But like when you saw him with the Mandalorian, it was like, oh, this motherfucker's got like a 26-inch waist.
Yeah.
Like,
no shit, right?
It was like, oh, hey, kid, you look cute wearing your dad's clothes.
Right, yeah.
Like, just fucking hanging off him.
But he still made it look so good.
Fuck yeah, he did. That's a good-looking man.
It's a good-looking man. Yeah, I mean, I don't even know how deep you want to get into talking about the story itself, but you can't. Boba Fett. I'm just going to jump in Boba Fett. Because I can't... It'll come up at some point and I'll go off track.
Uh-huh.
So, he pops up at the end.
Uh-huh.
We don't know his intentions at this point. Is he just looking for his armor? Is he hunting down someone? Is he looking for the child?
I can't imagine.
Has he been there the whole time?
The way I see it,
is it Captain Rex?
He's certainly been on Tatooine the whole time.
Okay.
If he wanted his armor, he knew where it was the whole time. And I mean, we're talking Boba Fett. That motherfucker could have taken Mos Pelgo.
I think I know why they're leaving it open the way they are. They've pretty much already said they're shooting a Boba Fett series.
Not only have they said they're
like soon, right?
Not only said they've already started filming it. And last I heard, rumor is it will be released before season 3 of The Mandalorian.
Wow.
It is coming in under a year.
Wow. that'll be an awesome sign of that'll be kind of their first, you know, spinoff of Mandalorian.
Yeah.
And depending on how that goes, I think you get spinoffs for all kinds of
people. Well, I mean, you've got Obi-Wan.
Sure.
And I think the real, when I think their end goal here is Ahsoka.
Oh, I would agree
100%. As a miniseries.
Yeah.
Because I think Obi-Wan is a limited series, mm-hmm. To just kind of bridge that gap, mm-hmm. between Revenge of the Sith and A New Hope. I think Boba Fett is probably a miniseries, mm-hmm. that you get a season of, just because it's like, I think fans deserve that. Yeah. And I think as a character, he deserves closure.
Right.
But you don't need two Mandalorian shows. And right. I think The Mandalorian has already proven to be great on its own.
But is,
and it doesn't have an ending.
But the Fetts aren't Mandalorians.
Oh.
I am just fucking with you. Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah, yeah.
Oof, gotta breathe. But
took his helmet off. I mean, he's right. Breaking all the rules.
But, well, you see, but the Mandalorians all did that in Clone Wars, too. I think it's based on, like, which tribe you're... Which,
it's going to be some weird... You're yeah. a part of. It'll be some side offshoot thing.
It's yeah. some tribal shit.
Yeah, yeah. Protestant, Catholics.
Right.
Episcopalians.
It's exactly. It's exactly what it is.
We always get religious here on the Altered State.
Right.
It all comes back to our Catholic upbringing.
Naturally. But I think, like, you get a season of Obi-Wan that Ahsoka is more than likely in. Mm-hmm. You get a season of Boba Fett that Ahsoka may or may not be in. I firmly believe Ahsoka shows up this season of The Mandalorian.
Agreed.
And that is, not only is that a character that has like enough legs that people like love her, but she's also fresh enough because not everyone got into the animated stuff.
Absolutely.
And she doesn't have an ending yet.
Right.
So, like, you can do so much more with her.
Well, and she's a Jedi without having to be a Jedi.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. She's a neutral force wielder.
Absolutely.
Right. Which creates all sorts of more intriguing
cool shit. Right.
stuff.
Yep.
So, I feel like that's the end game.
Well,
if I'm Disney Plus.
If they're doing a Boba Fett spinoff, or miniseries,
uh-huh.
I think you can easily, I mean, we've only seen them in one show, but I want to see a Cobb Vanth spinoff.
For sure.
I would watch the fuck out of that.
Yeah.
I would watch him just doing his sheriff thing in that
yeah.
stretch of a town. Basically Tombstone. It's Tombstone.
Right.
I'll watch it.
Or I think there's definitely room for a sequel to Solo, but as a miniseries.
Sure.
Because I think that movie is much better than people give it credit for. And I also think that's a story that becomes a lot more fun, mm-hmm. as a miniseries. Because I think where it left off, what I think you need to do with that character is basically, so like, that was the birth of him being a smuggler. And then when you meet him in A New Hope, that's the death of him being a smuggler.
Sure. Yeah.
So like, I would have seen
him smuggle some shit.
Right. Well, right. I would see the miniseries where it's like, each episode's different. It's self-contained.
Yeah.
He's smuggling different shit.
Right.
Sometimes it goes great. Sometimes it goes fucking poorly.
Yep.
And that allows you to get into like the different crime syndicates. So you can have Maul as kind of the big bad of
right.
it.
Yeah.
Even though Solo never actually meets Maul, but you can have him kind of pulling the strings.
Right.
I think that becomes a much more fun and palatable way to tell that story.
Well, so much more story you can tell.
For sure.
Yeah.
Well, and like I just think Han Solo lends himself character-wise to that medium a little bit better.
I would agree with that. Yeah.
You know, because I like I said, I want those self-contained adventures.
Right.
Of him smuggling.
And if you don't get that, to me, I see we're talking about spinoffs. I forget his character name, but Apollo Creed gets a spinoff, I think.
Grief Karga?
Dude, that could be badass. He's just running bounty hunters.
Just the bounty hunters?
Right. Yeah. It's just a different bounty every week or whatever it is. It could be awesome.
Awesome. That could be fun.
Yeah. You can have all different kinds of random bounty hunters. That way you could bring in all kinds of old, new characters. It could really be, it could be all over the galaxy.
I love how, like,
he could be like, this is another metaphor. It would just be like Charlie's Angels in space, and he's just Bosley and just sends them out on missions.
I think, shit, what was I just going to say? I just
lost it. Sorry, Charlie's Angels ruined everything.
Doesn't it always?
Well, there's some good camera. Those Cameron Diaz scenes aren't too bad.
Oh, I thought you were going to go immediately to your girl. Your
Drew Barrymore. Hey, I'm not going to say I still don't love me some Drew Barrymore, but the more random clips I see of her show, it's fading. It's fading fast.
She finally found a way to kill it.
Too much talky-talky. No, I'm just kidding. It's just watching her trying to not act, in quotes,
yeah,
is hard to watch because she's acting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's just...
Yeah.
Anyways. Moving along, Charlie's Angels fucking us up. See, it totally derailed everything.
But like, what I was just so excited about and continue to be with The Mandalorian is they have this ability to really pull like deep cut Star Wars stuff and total fan service-y Star Wars stuff.
Yeah.
But it never feels like that's the driver.
Sure.
You know, like I feel like in the sequel trilogy, that became problematic at
times. Absolutely.
It was like, oh, you're clearly doing this for the fan service of it, for the moment of it, but it feels like you're forcing that on me.
I would agree.
Whereas like in Mandalorian, I am getting all of those big saucer-eyed moments that like Star Wars nerd in me wants.
Right.
But it doesn't feel like, it feels right. It like feels finally, like it belongs there.
Like you kind of finally see what a Womp Rant looks like. Like shit like that. That's...
Or like even shit that like,
or like Cobb Vanth driving a.
That's what I was gonna say.
Looks a little bit like Anakin's pod.
It looks that is Anakin's turbine. Right, totally. I have zero doubt in my mind.
Right, 100%.
But like that should feel forced.
Right.
But it just doesn't.
Or like the pit droids.
Right.
You know that kind of shit. It's just it's there, but
the
it's...
pit droids are coming. But and I love that they use the crate dragon.
Yes.
As it like.
Yes.
That was just a fucking skeleton in the background of C-3PO and R2.
Yep.
And they actually built that into a thing.
Right.
And then that line that feels a bit like a throwaway line, where it was like, oh, he's in an abandoned Sarlacc pit. And it's like, well, I never seen an abandoned Sarlacc. Well, it is if you kill it, Sarlacc. Which I think immediately becomes, oh, this is probably how Boba Fett got out. Like, I think they use that immediate line as a teaser of like, because you don't know how Boba Fett got out. And that could be a big plot hole.
Have you read any of that lore? Any of that kind of canon stuff? There was some... And I'm not sure if it's still considered canon. There was a couple books, and then I feel like there was also a comic that told a story about Boba Fett getting out.
Because,
you know, C-3PO's line in Jedi. No, in
it takes 1,000 years.
Yeah, to, slowly digested. So, I mean, in the books, or in what, you know, I don't know if it's canon, the Sarlacc forms almost a psychic connection with you as it digests you, so you're still alive in a way. And somehow... Boba Fett convinced it to, like, something with a jetpack. I can't remember exactly what happened, and he, like, blew a hole through it and shot out in his jet. But that wouldn't fit with necessarily what happened in this, because his armor and shit was still there.
Telling you.
So you never know. You never know.
I think it's gonna be a crate dragon killed that Sarlacc, and it's going to play right back into it.
It wouldn't surprise me. Well, that brings me to another point. Boba was kind of dressed in a Jawa garb.
Yeah.
Just with no top, no hat on. When we don't really know what Jawas look like, other canon, which is legit canon in comic books, some Jawas are a race, but there's others who just come there and they're more of a tribe than a race at this point. And they all look different. So he could have been a fucking Jawa this whole time looking for his shit or trying to find the Jawas that...
That have his shit.
Right. Or not Jawa, I'm sorry. Jawas were the smaller ones.
Yeah. Same person, Tusken Raider?
Tusken Raider, thank you. Yes, he looks like a Tusken Raider. They would have the... Everything I said, Tusken Raider, not Jawas. I apologize. Yeah, Tusken Raiders are more of a... Yeah.
Because he did have the Tusken Raider staff on his back
in
that moment.
In a big, huge... You know, because you always wear big, huge garbs and stuff in the desert when it's fucking hot constantly. Robes and capes and all kinds of shit.
Yeah, man. Every Tatooine inhabitant I've ever seen is...
That's true. That's a good point.
Gotta be safe from them sandstorms,
that's
bro.
That's true. That's a good point. I just don't know what I'm talking about. I never lived there.
But I think that's a nice... That's a nice the first thing I could be living amongst the sand people.
That's kind of what I thought of the first time. Just still on Tatooine, like you said.
I love that
floating
they are,
around all this place.
I love that they are creating more... context for the Tusken Raiders.
Agreed.
I think that's a super interesting race that has always existed in Star Wars, but never quite gotten enough attention. Now that you're like seeing kind of a little bit more about it. And I'm sure they'll play a huge part in the Obi-Wan series.
I would assume they have to. Yeah. It's just them out. He speaks the language at one point. When he shows up to rescue Luke, he's doing that yell.
Uh-huh.
So he learned how to speak the language at some point. So.
Oh, man. Yeah, I want to know so much more about the Tusken Raiders. And yeah, I think Cobb Vanth was killer.
Yeah.
I loved that opening sequence with the Gamorreans and the Gamorrean Fight Club.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. And John Leguizamo as the fucking gangster.
Yep.
I love that you immediately got to see Mando be fucking Mando.
Right.
Like, fuck some people up. Right,
yep.
It was awesome.
Well, and I still love how they keep the, you know, he cares about the child type stuff, but everybody else, fuck off. Like, leave the dude hanging for the dogs kind of thing. Right. You know what I mean? It's just badass shit. I mean, he's still...
Like, he's still ruthless.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
He just won't kill a kid.
Just won't kill a kid.
That's his line.
Even though he's 50.
Right.
So...
But that's his line.
I get it. If you prefer, as long as you keep your name the child, that thing's safe.
Fact.
If he's ever like, you know, the adolescent, he's dead.
The teenager?
He's dead. He's gone.
Don't we all want to kill teenagers sometimes?
Moving along.
Right.
You're not going to catch me in that lie.
Episode one was, start to finish.
Killer.
Joyful.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like it just...
Well, even like, I don't want to say little things, because I don't think it's a little thing, but when they get on the speeders and they're heading out on the mission and it cuts to cinematic mode.
Yeah, when they change the aspect ratio.
Yes, man, it's so cool to do that kind of shit. I mean, it just really adds that little something to it that just changes the tone in a way.
Well, I mean, like the moment, that was a, it's crazy because it was like, okay, as I was saying how focused I am, I've lost myself like 3 times. So it's like, it's a episode that narrative-wise and like development-wise makes perfect sense, doesn't rely on like really cool moments to carry it. But it really does have some fucking cool, like that moment when they both take off in their jetpacks.
Yes.
How fucking badass. Dope was that?
Yep.
Or just like weird, silly shit, like Timothy Olyphant saying, "Yep, some days both suns shine on a womp rat's tail."
Yes, yeah,
like,
I know.
Or like even like the moments where they're in the fucking saloon and like the camera shot over the holster, like so Wild West.
Yep.
But it's the blaster and the spotchka's in the fucking corner. Like,
it's badass,
dude. They just nailed it.
Yeah, I would agree.
Favreau did his fucking job.
100%
is what he did.
100%. Did you another little random Easter egg that was in it that I saw and then read confirmed when he first lands back on Tatooine, and I forget the lady's name who has the pit droids and everything.
Pelimata.
There's also a shot of a armor looking thing in the background that is clearly an old Ant-Man costume because the guy who directed that episode directed Ant-Man.
No, Favreau directed that first episode.
Then it's the second episode when he
Peyton
lands.
Reed directed
second episode. Yeah, I'm sorry. So it's in the back of the second episode. And I didn't catch it at first. So I had to go back and make sure. And it's like...
That second episode also has the fucking huge ant creature.
Totally. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So yeah, there's all kinds of random... I love how they do that kind of shit.
Yeah.
And like I said, it's not... It doesn't change anything. It doesn't add anything.
It's just fun.
Right. Yep. I love that kind of shit.
Oh my God. The moment where Pelimata, thank the Force.
Yeah.
Like, why haven't we heard that before? That's such a great line in Star Wars.
Yep, I agree.
Or even going right back to the Catholic when we go to episode 2 when like the X-Wing pilots are flanking him.
May the Force be with you. Yeah.
And also with you.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, you're taking me so far back right now.
No shit. So let's get into episode 2. And I don't want to... This is not my opinion.
Uh-huh.
But the ding on episode 2 people are saying is they're calling it filler. Which, my opinion, I don't know how you can call something filler until there's a whole season.
Right.
And you know what happened in episode 2 might... be the catalyst to everything else that happens.
Well, I think frog character could be a huge...
Right. Well, and I think like little things like the child eating the eggs.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like in a way he's saving them. Like something will happen to where he's not really digesting them or what. I don't, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's stupid.
Or but like,
because the frog is awful cool about him eating all that eggs.
Right.
Doesn't seem to bother him.
Well, and I also think there's, I think there's a difference, and because the first episode like hit the ground running so hard that I think there was going to be an inevitable letdown. Because like you're 10 minutes into the first episode and you have Boba Fett armor.
Right. Right.
Like.
Yeah.
You have crate dragons.
Right.
You have fucking Timothy Olyphant. Like, you're really all in.
Right.
So you're going to have a little fallback. Because, like, when you think about season one, you know, the first few episodes were pretty slow.
Sure, yeah.
But I think everything they do adds... It creates a larger universe. And that's what I appreciate. And I think as a viewer, what I kind of... take back from it is one of my bigger gripes with everything Star Wars since Disney bought it is that they really don't give a lot of room to breathe. Most of those movies, and well, season one of Mandalorian notwithstanding, that's wonderful, and I love those all five of the movies they've made, but they don't really let any moments land. Like, they are very... They are quick cuts. They are bang, bang, bang. We're doing this. We're doing this. We're doing this. Sure. We're doing this. We're doing this. And I think part of that is that's just kind of how movies are made in general anymore.
Yeah.
But Star Wars is so deep in its lore and in its kind of mythology that you need those beats to let moments land. And you need to, for Star Wars to continue to get better, you need to have universe expanding moments.
Oh, right. Sure. I would agree
like,
with that. Yeah.
You can't just, everything can't be just a callback to what was.
Right.
Because in 5 years, now you're just recycling everything and Star Wars dies.
Right.
So you need to be able to say, like, all right, we're bringing in this ice planet with these really cool, horrifying ice spiders that came from concept art from Empire Strikes Back, which is also fucking dope.
Yep.
And this,
and like, then maybe frog the oldest creature. Rebel pilots of all time.
I mean, one of them's Dave Filoni.
I know.
But like, I think that just continues to build the world.
Agreed.
And I also think it will play bigger into the story.
Yes.
You know, like it will matter. But even if it is one that you look back on and think, that's not as important, it doesn't change the fact that it expands the universe.
Right.
And
right.
I am super for that. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm so enamored with the idea of, like, let's usher in new Star Wars that still feels like Star Wars.
Right.
That still is fun and action packed. You know, like that. That entire episode was like the second act of an Indiana Jones movie.
Sure.
Like, it was fucking action-packed, and there was peril, and there was little conniving, and there was, you know, pulling together by your shoestrings.
Right.
Like, it was fun.
Right.
And it may or may not have been like, it wasn't fucking full of fan service on Tatooine. So it feels different, but like...
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
It felt very Star Wars.
And that, like I said, that by no means was my opinion. I enjoyed the fuck out of the episode. Like I said, I refuse to call an episode filler when it's only the second one you've seen of the year. I don't
you
know
You can't
how.
Have context.
Right, exactly. But then again, what would everybody talk about on YouTube and everything else if they didn't have a week to talk about, oh, it's filler.
Well,
let's bitch about Star Wars.
So. We're content creators.
This is true.
What do we do if we don't complain?
This is true. Wait, I'm not just a critic? I thought I'm a professional critic.
Oh.
I don't get paid for any of this shit.
Excuse me?
That's right. We're making big bucks. We're making the big bucks through the ads now.
Right.
Speaking of, go get yourself a fucking Good Buddy's Thanksgiving sandwich.
That's right. 2 weeks.
2 weeks they should be doing it. Yep.
Yep. The 20th and 21st.
And if you can't wait, go get one at DB's.
Right.
They got it going too. Only difference is they got...
The companion bread is at Good Buddy's.
It's a different bread, right. But they don't have the sweet potato spread like they do at Good Buddy's. They got sweet potato fries on it. So, you know, you can work it out. you're gonna be okay
for sure.
It's still a healthy
or
sandwich.
You do both.
That's a good point. You got to do both
because they are not only is the sandwich wonderful, but the people are more
tell you
wonderful.
What. I bet you can't tell the difference. I dare you to go buy both and videotape it. You're not gonna be able to tell the difference. I dare you.
Blind dare taste you. Test.
That's right. That's right. They did a blind taste test at DB's, and I won't say who it was, of N.A. Bush.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, oh, I can tell the difference in N.A. Bush. And they lined up four things of beer.
Uh-huh.
They were all N.A. Bush. And he's like, that one. Like, no, you're wrong. You're going to believe it.
I have a feeling I know who it was.
Yeah, anyways. I took us off track there. You got more Star Wars? I apologize. I did love the also callback. What was the red droid?
Oh, R5.
R5, thank
and
you.
And I love that and there was still the damaged like scuff on the top where the bad motivator was.
Can't get good health.
Like, that was so
After that episode, there was some, you know, thing on YouTube where it was a tribute to R5, the real hero of the galaxy.
Right.
R5 knew that R2-D2 had to be put into that position, so purposely blew his motivator in order to get out of this new, you know, the real hero of the galaxy is R5.
Oh, man. No, I just, I can't say, and like, you know, we all go through these, you go through these spats where it's like there's the things that you love, but for whatever reason, they just connect, they reconnect again at the right times.
Yeah.
And I've never not loved Star Wars, but I think I got caught up in the machine of Star Wars for enough of a stretch.
Well, you know, life takes over for a little while here and there, too. So.
Oh, I guess I needed to be a father and a husband and a teacher and an adult.
Ugh.
But, like, I mean, genuinely, I was moved to tears on multiple occasions this week by just how wonderfully that story is told.
Yeah.
And just how beautiful of a story it is and how all of the failures of it are strictly an execution. But you can kind of create enough kind of headcanon to work around those moments of execution.
Yeah.
But it is just so beautifully and interestingly told.
I agree.
The sequel trilogy frustrates me more and more every time I watch it. That's the only one.
Which
that
I think
bugs
is probably, if you can relate to that, then you can probably relate to a little bit of my frustration I had with the original prequel.
Certainly.
That's when you base it off what you love so much. Uh-huh. Like, oh, that this doesn't, it misses the mark somewhere.
Certainly.
And it's always going to because it was 20 years later.
Well, I think my issue with the sequel trilogy 100% just comes back to the lack of foresight. I fundamentally don't understand how you purchase property for $4 billion and then just create three movies on a whim without having a master plan in advance.
You want to return immediately. That's all that is.
But it's just, it's crazy to, because they know better because they did it with Marvel. Like, how do you not have an outline made for where you want the story and the characters to go? Because I think I genuinely love all three of those movies, even with all their warts. I think it's a miracle that they're not worse because of the lack of foresight. Sure. Like, how do you have three different people write three completely different movies without having an outline for them to follow first? Like, that's fucking stupid. Right. That's insane.
One person should have wrote a trilogy.
100%. Or one writing team.
Right.
Or,
exactly. Right.
You know, if you couldn't get, you know.
Well, when you say team, together.
Right.
Not just this guy wrote this part, then this guy updated this, and this guy changed this, and then we put this part in from this chick, and then it's just a mess.
Or at least have a team develop the outline, and you can have individual writers create specific dialogue or scenes for movies, but like...
See, now you're just talking crazy. You're talking like some weird MCU process.
Or I'm talking about how George Lucas did the first two.
Oh, right.
Where it's like, for everything that you can say about what doesn't work in the prequels... The story works beginning to end.
Yeah.
The visual design is
because he already
inconsistent.
Wrote it. Yeah.
The dialogue is bad. The direction is bad. The acting is mediocre at best.
Yeah.
But like the story fucking works.
Yeah, I'm not gonna argue that.
The sequel trilogy, the story just it feels like three different movies made by three different people.
Yep.
And
because it is.
Right. And that That's what frustrates me about it.
Right.
It's not even in the execution of individual movies. It's just in, like, how do you not know better?
Come on.
Like, I don't understand. It seems so silly to me. It's so obvious.
But there's so much garbage put out there that it really shouldn't surprise you.
It does, because it's the same people that made that are behind Marvel.
Well, that's true. That's
good. So they had already cracked the code.
I really just think people, regardless of what their position was in the company or whatever, they're like, we're buying Disney or we're buying Star Wars, and that's all you could think of. Nothing else mattered. Like, it was, I don't want to do political comparisons, but it feels kind of like when Trump won 4 years ago, and then he's kind of like, oh, fuck, now what do I do? You know what I mean? I didn't think this was going to happen. Now what?
Right.
There's no way this is going to happen. Shit, I'm here. Okay, put these three whatever out, and we'll figure out some good stuff down the road. We'll do Mandalorian in 5 years or whatever. You know what I mean? Right. Some shit, yeah.
So. Well, it just seems so short-sighted for a company that's been very good at not being short-sighted. There's a lot of complaints that can be lobbed at Disney, but short-sighted has never been one of them.
No.
And it just feels, it's frustrating because it's like, I honestly don't fucking understand how it happened. I will never understand.
No.
I'm with you. Fucking bugs me.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
I'm with you.
But now they're continuing to make great shit.
Absolutely. Yep. I don't know. I was going to throw something in. Oh, this is what it was. When you were talking about how you watched all nine of them the other night, I don't know, a couple nights ago now, TNT was playing the original trilogy.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't watch all of them back to back, but I sat down and I watched all of Jedi. Completely. And it was never my favorite, but I still love Jedi.
Sure.
And I loved every second of it, but it made me appreciate, not necessarily because I know he's a great actor, Harrison Ford, but he's such a great, like, his facial expression.
Yes.
He tells so much with just little things, like, what keeps popping in my head, you know, when they're on Endor and the moon blows up and he's asking, you know, because he still thinks she's got a thing for Luke, and it's like, you love him. And that little smile, don't you? Like, I just, it's, can't talk about it on podcast, but his facial expressions are just the best thing in the world.
Speaking of that, something that I picked up on this watch through that brought me an immense amount of joy. So remember in Rise of Skywalker.
Okay.
Kylo Ren becomes Ben Solo again.
Yes.
And they're like fighting on Exegol, and they do like the force drop lightsaber.
Right.
So he pulls the lightsaber out and he kind of does that shoulder shrug, like, move.
Oh, yeah.
And like, you watch it, you're kind of like, oh, that was weird. But it is the exact same shoulder shrug that Han Solo does when he's on the Endor base. And like in that moment, it's like, ah, you fucking are Han Solo's kid.
That's cool. I don't think
it is pitch perfect. It is like, it is so much so. And Adam Driver is such a good actor. And J.J. Abrams is so deep in that.
Right.
That I guarantee that was referenced. I guarantee that was like, you're Han fucking Solo's kid.
Yep. Yeah, I didn't catch it from, you know, Jedi, obviously, but just hearing you say that and thinking of the one scene we got with, you know, Ben and Han Solo, those two together would have been great actors in scenes what great stuff we could have had going forward those two.
Well, how powerful is that death scene in Force Awakens?
Right, sure.
Again, on the rewatch, like, that moment is it's gorgeous.
And that's Harrison Ford. Beautifully directed.
Perfectly acted.
Yeah.
But it's like the visual direction of it, the way Abrams like foreshadowed with the light going out of the sun at the same time. Like, beautiful, sweeping, wide shots. Like,
yep. Speaking of, that was another great little Easter egg. Before you see Boba Fett in episode one, you see the two sons.
Yeah.
That was fucking great. Yeah. That was a cool little, because you really hadn't seen that yet. You know, they hadn't done that, but just a cool little pan up. And then they pulled out of the cinematic mode or whatever. Boom.
Yeah, give me those binary suns.
Oh, that was great. It was great. Do we need a break? Should we keep rolling? Where are we at?
Let's take a little breather.
Take a little break.
Hey, man, it's me, Kevin Smith. Check out alteredstatecomics.com right now. I will wait. But while I'm waiting, I'm going to also tell you, go check out the Altered State podcast, man. They come straight out of St. Louis, Brandon and John, and they are there for all your pop culture needs. They're very orally accented, is what I'm saying, ladies and dudes. So there you go, man. AlteredStateComics.com. It's right there in the name.
And we're back.
All right. All right. So I got, we're going to do a little Sean Connery here in a second.
Okay.
Because we missed talking about some Sean Connery after he passed last week. But two quick things I wanted to run past you.
Uh-huh.
Just because anybody who listens, if I don't bring up wrestling,
sure,
I pretty much bring up Adam Sandler. So I'm going to bring up some Adam Sandler. Zohan 2 is in development.
Fuck you.
And so is Herbie Halloween 2.
Yes.
In development.
I'm stoked on one of those.
I felt like I came off as like the defender of the Zohan movie, which wasn't saying was the best.
That movie sucks, dude. That movie is so bad.
It's so bad they're making another one. Yep.
Wow.
Yep. And also, quick little note, second most popular Netflix movie of the year, Herbie Halloween.
I co-sign that.
Yeah.
Like, I think...
Sandler making it happen, man.
Well, this is what I think Netflix is perfect for.
Hubie. I said Herbie. I don't know if I said Herbie.
I think Netflix is the hero for the types of movies that don't get to come out anymore because studios aren't going to risk, like, Hubie Halloween.
The $35, $40 million type movies that...
The goofball comedies.
Right, right.
The movies that we loved as kids, like... Dumb and Dumber would never come out now.
No, probably not.
Not because the movie couldn't be, but because they're like, well, we can't pay for that to get a theatrical release.
Sure.
You know, like the romantic comedy, the PG-13 comedy, the low budget fun fucking movie.
You can say that, Adam Sandler movies.
That's just fun.
Right.
Like, and Netflix still allows those to be made.
Because they know there's a huge market for it.
Absolutely. Like, right. Hubie Halloween, I'm not going to sit here and be like, wow, man, what a remarkable movie.
Right.
Of course. But like, that movie is exactly what I needed.
Right.
You know, like, I love a holiday thing that's just like joyful.
Totally.
That's going to have like 5 to 7 laugh out loud moments.
Right.
And the rest is just going to be kind of just like
a smile.
Harmless goofballery.
Right. Right.
Like, I miss that.
Right.
The world needs more of that.
A good hour 40 of not thinking.
Right.
Of enjoying, or not thinking, but you know, of entertainment, whatever
right.
you want to call it.
Right. Of just allowing silliness
Escape.
To be silly.
Yeah. 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 All right. Anyway, that's enough of Adam Sandler for this week. So last week, the great Sean Connery passed.
Mm-hmm.
I know we got a little bit of an age difference, but to me, Sean Connery was always the man's man. Like, because I'm a little bit still too young for Clint Eastwood.
Uh-huh.
It was Sean fucking Connery, man. I mean, he was...
See, that's
fucking
interesting.
James fucking Bond. I mean, that's what I loved. I had Roger Moore and I had those Timothy Dalton stuff, but he was still, they always referred to him as James Bond, no matter what.
See, and it's totally the age difference in us because like to me, Sean Connery is just an old dude.
Really?
Like, well, I think Sean Connery.
Isn't he one of those guys that was always just like just 60 for 50 years? Like, he always just looked that
See, big. Sean Connery was just 70 forever to me.
Fair enough.
Like, cause you think, like, Sean Connery quit acting in, what, 2000 probably?
Probably something along those lines, yeah.
Like, I was 13 then.
Okay, yeah.
So when I, like, started having actual movie memories, Sean Connery is The Rock.
Sure, on TNT for you.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Sean Connery is League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Sure.
Sean Connery is
you better say
Indiana
Rise,
Jones
you better
and
say
Last
Rising
Crusade.
Sun in there somewhere. I love that movie. Oh, Wesley Snipes, Sean
yep.
Connery. Oh, what a fucking movie.
Right.
Oh.
But he's Indy's dad.
Sure.
You know, like the Sean Connery man's man heartthrob that he was for so much of his career. It's kind of like to me Marlon Brando's just a fat shit.
Fair enough.
You
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
Like, it's just that generation
yeah.
gap.
He's just a guy petting a cat, sitting in a chair.
Right.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And, like, I just don't... I don't have the context. Because he quit acting when I was so young. You know? Like
yeah.
There's not enough of his... catalog that is fresh to me.
And I think I stuck with Sean Connery and those type of guys because shortly after that, he the action home and stars fucks
the prom queen.
Yeah, they were everybody was jacked. You had to be just jacked and looking like The Rock. Sean Connery never was chiseled.
He was svelte.
He
man.
Was exactly.
He was the perfect James Bond.
Absolutely.
He was slick as fuck.
Right.
Right. He was James Bond.
And it gave the regular folks hope that you didn't have to look like Schwarzenegger to be a movie star.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Anyways, sure. That's a bad comparison because he came way before Schwarzenegger. But, one of my favorite, I can't believe we didn't bring this one up though, little Prince of Thieves there at the end.
I'm not familiar with Prince of Thieves.
You know Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves? Kevin Costner?
Oh! I know it. I haven't seen it.
He just shows
it,
up
really.
At the end as the king, yeah.
It's
like
one that,
two
it's,
seconds.
It's one that, like, Kevin Costner's Robin Hood is one that I, like, remember being on reruns on cable sure. when I was a
yeah.
kid.
Yeah.
But I don't think I've ever actually sat down and watched it.
Oh, and Christian Slater's in it. It's great. It's great.
I believe that.
Well, it's not. I don't want to say it's great.
Believe
it's,
it.
It's one of those hilarious Robin Hood. Not well, hilarious. Where, you know, Kevin Costner is Kevin Costner, and he does not attempt an accent whatsoever, but everybody else has an English accent. Yet he's from there. He's the prince. I love it.
Kind of like how Sean Connery, as Indiana Jones' dad, is supposed to be an old school American,
yep.
but has just the thickest fuck Scottish accent.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I, there's something, I don't know, oddly satisfying when people do that. Like, I can't do an accent, and fuck you, I don't have to. I mean, I'm so good of an actor, I can make you think I'm his dad, even though we sound nothing. Like, we're in, what they say, like Arizona? What was or Utah? Was it Utah?
Yeah.
Come on. Like, yeah, that voice came out of Utah.
Or the fact, the more recent equivalent to that is that the accent on Themyscira is an Israeli accent
yes.
because Gal Gadot can't
yes.
not do an accent.
Yep.
So they're just like, all right, we're just gonna say that yep. we're just gonna say that Mascara is Israeli.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Which is so fucking funny to me.
I think my first ever exposure other than James Bond, who at the time I just knew him, he was a James Bond. I didn't know it was this actor guy. I just, oh, that's James Bond.
Mm-hmm.
But then it was, I love The Untouchables. Another Kevin Costner movie.
Yeah.
I don't know if you love that movie. I love that movie.
Really?
And he plays, he does a great Chicago accent in that one. So he can do accents. He plays a Chicago cop.
I'll be goddamn good for him.
He's fantastic. He is I think he got an Academy Award for that, actually.
Sean Connery?
He either did or he got nominated for that. Yeah, like Best Supporting Actor.
I'll be damned.
Yeah, because that was like right after 007, James Bond. That people were like, oh, he might actually be an actor. Like, you know, right. he can do other shit than just Money Punny and Pussy Galore and shit like that. So,
but why would you if you can?
Hey, if they're going to keep giving money to interact with people to keep a straight face and say Pussy Galore and other random terms like that all the time, I'm going to do that movie just for, I don't know.
Just to laugh about it.
If we don't have Sean Connery, we do not get Austin Powers.
Fact.
I mean,
big
so
fact.
So even if you'd never seen a Sean Connery movie, you got to appreciate that right there.
And if we don't have Austin Powers, we don't have Beyonce as a movie star. We may not have Beyonce as a knockout solo artist. Really, Sean Connery gave us Beyonce.
This is true. This is true. He gave her an extra threat in the triple threat.
Right.
So, way to go, Sean. Way to go, Sean. I got no more Connery stuff.
No. Did you see the really sad news today, though?
Oh, I did. Alex Trebek. Yes. Yeah.
It was one of those things that was like, I feel like yesterday was kind of like the first day since like the beginning of the year that I kind of felt optimistic. And then today they were like, nope, it's still 2020.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it like my cousin passed the very end of January. And I feel like I haven't really been hopeful since that day.
I can believe it. Yeah.
And then yesterday I felt kind of hopeful.
Yeah.
I felt a little relief. Well, and then today was like, hey, man.
Yeah. You got smacked right back
shit
into reality.
Still sucks.
Yeah, exactly.
Canadian treasure Alec Trebek is gone.
Yeah. Have they said, I don't pay attention. I used to watch Jeopardy. Are they going to continue with that show?
They have to. I'm sure they will.
Can anybody take that spot?
I mean, no.
I mean, I didn't know where you started. Yeah. Do you get guest hosts until one fits?
Hey, man.
You know?
No one could fill Bob Barker's shoes.
No.
And you have Drew Carey now on 10 years of doing
That's true.
Pat Sajak's going to be gone one of these days, and Wheel of Fortune will keep spinning.
I heard they're going to give it to Vanna White and get a new letter toucher because she don't spin anything anymore. But I would assume she might retire at the same time. I mean,
right. I was going to say, and they've both been in it for like 50 years.
Yeah.
You know, I think
how do you get those gigs? What a great gig.
I mean, it's a sweet gig.
I mean, and I'm not putting, I'm not saying anything negative about Vanna White, but how do you get that? And how do you hang on to it for that long?
Because you become a fucking icon, man.
But, you know, I just see.
Look, the cultural relevancy of it.
Yes, because
makes all the difference.
She's been doing it since, you know, not that Hollywood and whatever.
Since it was pure objectification.
Absolutely.
She was a hot model in
absolutely.
Her 20s.
She was the same thing on Price is White. Touch this thing. Show me the vacuum. Just stand there and be pretty.
Right.
But. At some point, you know, she's Vanna fucking White now. I mean, she could have demanded all the fucking money in the world, and they could have said, we don't need you to touch a letter.
Yeah.
We can do this without you.
It became a cultural phenomenon. It's one of those things, like, it's just, it's lightning in a bottle.
I'm just shocked that she's, I mean, I'm impressed, but I'm just shocked.
Well, it's lightning in a bottle, and, like, I'm sure she's not making a killing.
I bet she's doing better than you think.
I mean, I bet she's doing very well.
Yeah.
But, like...
I mean, they're not getting Friends money, don't get me wrong, but,
right.
You know.
I bet she's making, I would guess she's making under 300 grand a year.
Do you think she's paid for a vacation in the last 30 years, all the vacations they give away? You think,
right.
Like every spin, we didn't sell that one to the Bahamas, I'm taking that one.
I bet she makes $500,000 a year or less.
I would say more.
You think so?
I would say more at this point, yeah.
I don't. Yeah. And that's a hell of a fucking living.
I only say that.
$500,000 a year is a hell 100%. Of a fucking living.
Oh, a very good living. I only say that because it would not surprise me if early on she made nothing.
Yeah.
And they're making up for it a little bit. I could be wrong.
I think at the end of the day.
Because TV commercials make so much more money now than they used to.
But I think at the end of the day, anyone in a hosting position like that, you know... that networks are only making those shows because they're cheap to make.
True.
If those hosts become too expensive,
right.
The show just won't be made anymore.
Sure.
You know, because they're not huge drivers anymore, especially in our content area.
Well, yeah.
That they're saying, like, all right, our cast is
are those shows
a host and a fucking like co-host or whatever.
Right. Are those shows still daily? Do they still do that every day?
Yeah.
Is it Wheel of Fortune Jeopardy is every day still, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure they shoot 40 in a week
but it
still comes out every day.
Yep.
Okay. Because that's different than, you know, like Chris Hardwick has The Wall. It's on once a week for like a month or two, and that's it.
Right.
And then he does something else. So it's not the same, but I guarantee he's making bank.
I don't know, man.
Chris Hardwick wouldn't sign up for that kind of shit, not making money. Network
TV. I'm not saying he's not making no money.
I'm just saying.
But I bet he's making...
Because he's got stupid money now.
I bet he's making $1 million.
Sure.
To do that show.
See,
which is $1 million for 2 months worth of... For really a week and a half's worth of work.
Yeah.
Because they're 8 episodes and they're doing them all in 3 days.
I'd be curious how those contracts work too as far as... Do you get incentives? Like, let's say you land in the top 5, you know, viewership. And you get a bump. If the show does well. Or is it just a flat rate? No matter what we do, this is what you're making.
I think there is also when you're a Chris Hardwick type.
Sure.
I think not only are you getting the money, but what is equally as valuable is you're staying relevant. When you're someone whose entire job is to be a host.
Sure. Yeah.
You're like, Chris Hardwick doesn't do anything else anymore. He did some stand-up.
Yeah, he did an album. He's done a couple stand-up albums now, but yeah.
But
2 years ago, he put his last album out.
Right. Yeah. But even that was like a small window. You know, like,
he's been doing stand-up for 20, 30 years now, really.
Right. But he, like, as far as touring stand-up and making, like, legitimate stand-up money, he was really only doing that for, like, a 3 or 4 year stretch there a few years ago. Well, you know, he was probably doing club gigs and
he did
shit.
He did a lot
like,
of club
stuff. Like, for fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, might make a couple bucks on an open mic night, but he wasn't, like, hustling as a comedian anymore.
I think you'd be surprised. He was still out there doing a lot of shit.
I think he has just been a host since the mid-90s.
Well, I mean, that's what he's made his majority of his money.
And does a very good job of it. Yeah. But I think when you're doing that, you want the paycheck for doing it, but you also need to keep doing it so more people ask you to do it.
True.
You know, like, I don't think...
Or even, like, you know, like we talked the other day about all the new shows that are coming out. I feel like they're paying those people for their name.
Maybe.
Like, Will Arnett on a show. Sure. Stuff like, you're...
Liz Banks hosting fucking Press Your Luck.
Right.
See, but I think those are a little bit...
But like you said...
I think those are a little bit different.
They're cheap to make, so your really only expense is your host.
Right.
You know what I mean? So...
And I think those are different because when you're talking about a Will Arnett or a Liz Banks... Those are still working actors and actresses that are making big money things.
Sure, sure.
And shit, Liz Banks owns a fucking production company and is directing and is doing a ton of other things.
True.
Whereas, so like, for her, it's probably like, oh, this is another gig. Right. So yeah, you pay me my rate and we go on.
Right.
But I think when you are a career host, you know, when you're, say, when Regis Philbin took on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire,
right,
there is part of that. That, you know, obviously you're not doing it for pennies. I'm sure he's making, I'm sure he's doing well off getting that hosting gig. But I do think there is absolutely a component of that, especially if you're a Chris Hardwick who's a career host and now a Will Arnett or a Liz Banks are getting in the hosting game and Alec Baldwin is getting in the hosting game.
True.
Now you're like, fuck, man, I need to be relevant because now there's people bigger than me. You know, it's kind of like now every fucking actor and comedian has a podcast.
Yeah.
So it's like,
yeah.
All the little folks are like, well, fuck, man. How am I going to get listens?
Right. No shit. No shit.
So when you're Chris Hardwick, how are you going to get ratings when you're up against Alec Baldwin?
I don't have an answer.
You know?
If I did, I'd be doing it.
Fucking A rights.
Yeah. Because technically, he's my competition too. I'm just going to say we're in the same industry.
Right. These people are our competition.
Just taking away my likes and my fucking downloads here.
You know?
God damn it. One other little thing I had that I wanted to touch base with, just a quick little note I saw, but it made me very happy when I saw it. Because you don't get a lot of, like, you know, you see, oh, this is coming out, and I expected that, and this is coming out, oh, that'd be cool. Rarely do I, something this hits me, I'm like, oh, I didn't even know they were thinking about doing something like that.
Uh-huh.
Gremlins prequel.
Really?
Set in 1920s Shanghai.
Whoa!
I dug it right away.
I'm super intrigued.
Yes. So basically the story of how Gizmo got to the United States kind of thing.
Okay.
I've heard both animation and live act. I don't know if it's officially decided how they're going to do it, but there's a script
that's
in place.
That's got to be live action
with I would think so too.
There's no, like, if you make Gremlins without puppets, you can fuck right off.
I agree.
I have zero
Unless
interest.
It's like a series. I would watch a Gremlins like series, you know. Oh, they get into random...
I would not.
Oh, I would totally
if it's that. If it's not puppets, I'm not fucking watching it.
I'd watch that. Like I said, anymore in a cartoon type thing, I'd watch
if
that.
If it's cartoon or it's CGI, I am the fuck out.
I'm not saying I want that. I'm just saying I would watch something like that. But this, I would think, has to be live action.
Well, I think it's just... That's so much of what makes me love Gremlins, mm-hmm. is the look of Gremlins.
Yep.
You know, like it's not... Like the idea of the, you know, like silly monster story. I can get that story 30 other places right now. What makes it Gremlins is that it looks and feels like Gremlins.
Yes, agreed. Agreed.
And I need that.
Yep. I was pumped to see that. It was nothing. I don't have any more information on as to that. All right. But I was like, oh, that's fucking cool. I would love to see something like that.
Yeah.
And it's, you know... Yeah, maybe it's one more thing from a childhood that's kind of they're bringing back. But at the same time, they're not – it's not a reboot or a redo. It's just, you know.
It's just more of a thing that I love.
Absolutely. Right.
I'm here for that.
Me too.
Me too. I don't need everything to be new and original. Mm-hmm. And I don't want everything to be a reboot or a remake. But, like, I think there is something – I think there's something to be said for, like, say, our generation is now at the age group that we are the writers, directors, producers, right?
Consumers.
Right.
Yeah.
But as kids, we all grew up with books and TV and movies and action figures. Mm-hmm. We all wrote our own stories for these things when we were playing them in our bedrooms.
Totally.
So I am all for, you know, when they're like, oh, man, look at all these people that are doing Star Wars. How Jon Favreau doing Star Wars? Because Jon Favreau has been writing Star Wars stories since he was fucking 10.
Right.
playing with action figures.
Right.
I am here for that. I want to hear that story.
Same here.
The same way that I want to tell my stories. So like when I see, if I see someone who's like, yeah, I've been a fan of Gremlins since I was a kid, and now I have the clout to be able to play with them. Let me fucking see what you make then, man.
Absolutely.
Like, I don't love when a studio is like, I want to monetize this to make money, whatever. But when it means someone who truly loves the content gets to play with the content, that's so worth it to
totally.
Me.
Totally. Agree 100%.
Like, agree that's 100%. So much more fun and enjoyable.
Yeah, it said, I don't know if the title is official, but I love the title. Gremlins, Secrets of the Mogwai.
Oh.
Dug it. I just figured whoever owns Gremlins was watching Mandalorian, and they're like, that's fucking a hairless gizmo. We can sell that like a motherfucker.
Right. Well, the merchandising rights alone will make us rich. That child thing.
We've been selling gizmos for years. Where the hell is our money? That's the same. That's our toy right there.
So, right. It's a goddamn Furby.
It is. 100%. That's really all I got, man. What do you got for me? So,
an interesting thing happened this week. Johnny Depp was taken off of Fantastic Beasts.
Yep, I saw that.
Now, the reason that is interesting to me is this is the same week that we got the announcement that Amber Heard was back in the Snyder Cut and doing reshoots for that.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit about Hollywood gossip.
Same here, yeah.
But I am intrigued that it was like, all right, first Johnny Depp's the villain.
Yeah.
And then Amber Heard's the villain. We won't even get her on. And now Johnny... And, I mean, Warner Brothers owns both Harry Potter and DC. So it's the same people doing the hiring and firing.
Correct.
And I just find that to be...
There's already been a lot of outcry about that. Yeah, people are like, you gotta get rid of her then, too. I mean,
I don't know, man. Maybe something came... Because they had their court date and shit this week. Maybe something came out in court. They were like... Ooh, yeah. Well, all right, we're not going to publicize this, but this motherfucker really is a fucking grimy guy.
Well, I think it wasn't anything that came out. I forget what the exact terminology is, but like he...
Sued her for libel or something.
And it was just thrown out.
Yeah.
So it was basically thrown out and judge isn't going to hear anything. So his like counter suit to her was just tossed. So now it's just...
Yeah.
Now it's just he said, she said out in the ether.
But Amber Heard gets to keep her work.
It would not surprise me if he's back before that's all said and done.
See, I don't know. I also think what plays a little bit into it is, in a vacuum, it's like, yeah, the same fucking production house is kicking the husband to the curb and not the wife over the same dispute over who's right and who's wrong.
Right.
But the difference is Harry Potter also has the PR nightmare that is J.K. Rowling right now.
Correct.
So if you have like domestic abuse activists that are looking at a potential thing against Johnny Depp,
right,
and you have LGBTQ activists being like, we need to fucking burn J.K. Rowling to the ground. How much of this is Warner Brothers saying like, we can't kick J.K. Rowling off of this because she owns half of it.
True.
We have no ability to get rid of her, so we've got to budge somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
I wonder how much of it's that.
I don't. Like you said, I don't. It all annoys the fuck out of me because it really turns into more. I don't want to say gossip because if the allegations are true, that's a terrible thing, and you know. But
right. Well, it's just like it ain't my fucking business.
Because then it got so deep, and they both sound just like horrible people, right. And it's just
When I find out someone's a piece of shit and they get fired, I'm all for it.
Right.
Get them the fuck out of here. They don't deserve the opportunity.
Yep.
But I also am just like, this doesn't really affect.
Right. Especially because, you know, then you read stuff. You're like, oh, she's taking a shit in his bed. Like, I don't need to know this. I'm out. you know, that's, if true, fucking horrible. Not saying it gives you an excuse to do whatever you're alleged to do, but fucked up on both sides.
You shouldn't shit on someone's pillow. You should not
shit the bed. Yeah.
You shouldn't shit on a pillow. Yeah.
There was a Dave Attell, I love the comedian, you know, mostly one-liners type stuff. Uh-huh. And he was just, you know, one of his old CDs. I think the CD was titled Skanks for the Memories. Good CD. But one of the lines was like, you can never, ever talk your way out of shitting on someone's pillow. Be a man. Own up to it. I don't know, it's a stupid buddy.
Dude, speaking of silly comedians, back-to-back really strong SNL episodes.
I was going to jump into that because I wrote down, I wanted to make sure, I told you Jim Carrey was going to be Biden.
He's not.
You're wrong.
He was last night. Because I think he's through, but now that I think he was
part of the deal, I guarantee it.
No, man, I think he was for the election cycle because that was condensed. Now that you are in a place where you're gonna have 4 years of Biden or Biden until Kamala Harris takes over or whatever, if you, 4 years, you are not gonna have Jim Carrey every week for 4 years, and you need to have a president on call if you're SNL. That's how it fucking works.
I agree.
You gotta have someone.
I agree with you. But even
if it's not Jim Carrey.
If they're way around it would be if they're just gonna do Biden, say, for the cold opening.
Which I'm sure is what it will be.
That can be filmed pretty easy.
I don't think so, man.
How many Moranis bucks are we putting on it?
I'll put 25 Moranis bucks.
All right. You want to put a hard date, like he will not be there after this date or the season or...
Let me think.
I think he's there as Biden the rest of this season for sure.
I wouldn't bet against that. I don't think he will be, but I wouldn't bet against
because we're only like, what, 5 or 6 episodes in? 4 or 5, something like that?
We're 6 in.
Okay.
Next week is our first rerun of the year.
Okay.
So
we'll get a couple more before, or one more before Thanksgiving, and then maybe a couple more before Christmas?
Yeah. So really... I think you may have Jim Carrey. I think you got Jim Carrey at least until the inauguration.
Okay.
So that's January like 15th or 20th or in that ballpark.
I think that puts you pretty much almost at the end of the season then.
So if you've got, because I imagine by then, I think between now and inauguration, you've probably only got maybe 5 episodes. Maybe.
And what else is he doing?
So I think you got Jim Carrey through the inauguration. But I think once Biden's officially in office, you've got to have a cast member.
They didn't for Trump.
Yeah, but Alec Baldwin's like an honorary cast member. Alec Baldwin has hosted like 50 fucking times.
I agree.
He lives in New York. And he's not as active of an actor. And like him and Lorne Michaels are like thick as thieves. I think he's like an honorary cast member.
Okay.
I look at Alec Baldwin kind of like an SNL alum. Okay, like, for example, like I think Maya Rudolph will always be Kamala Harris.
Sure. Yeah.
As an SNL alum, I think you can get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
I think like had McCain won in 2008, I think Tina Fey would have been Palin for 4 years.
I would agree with that. Sure.
As an alum.
Yeah.
But I don't think just having an actor comedian on standby as the fucking president when you know the cold open is going to be political sketch every week. That's their one.
Right.
And it's been that way for 25 years. Yep. The cold open is always the political sketch.
I think until you're still gonna get away with Trump for the next X amount of years doing his cold opening shit too, because he's gonna be in the He's still gonna be messing with shit.
He's still gonna be in the news, but I think if SNL is smart, they don't do more Trump shit.
I would agree. Yeah,
I think regardless of which side of the aisle you sit on, there's a lot of Trump fatigue.
I would agree.
As far as in the media and shit like that goes, I think that would be a
no.
I think it would be a gross misstep.
I think their Trump stuff will be mostly on the news.
Like, yeah,
you know, that kind of weekend update type shit going forward. So
right.
Yeah, but no, I'm 100% in Jim Carrey's.
I think they did it because I think they've been waiting for him to do the
I was going to say.
I think that was planned the moment that it was like,
that's,
we want Biden to win because we want Jim Carrey to deliver that line.
That added
I think that
more
was
fuel to the fire that he will continue to do it while promoting his reboot of all his other shit. Because that's exactly what other... I'm telling you, man.
I don't think so, man. I think you've got to have a cast member... Or an alum. I would be thrilled.
I think after Alec Baldwin, that theory is out. They'll do whatever.
You know,
whatever works at this
point. I think they should either have... I think Alex Moffat could do a good job. I see some Biden in him. But I think what would also work wonderfully... Fucking bring back Sudeikis. That motherfucker ain't doing shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Him and Olivia Wilde are still in New York.
Right.
And he was a great Biden.
Great.
During the Obama administration. Yeah. He was a very fucking funny Biden.
Yeah.
He's got a good bit already there.
If that's the route
and
they went.
And he did it for 8 years. I want that.
If that's the route they go, I would be happy to be incorrect. But I'm not.
Yeah. I think, like you said, I think if he goes through the inauguration and we're still in a COVID world, so there's not a lot of filming going on, so Kerry's not busy. Mm-hmm. I think it's possible.
I think you're talking yourself
into
it.
He goes through the season.
Yep.
No, I'm not. Because I think it's possible he goes through the season, but I would be shocked if he was Biden after this season.
I'm shocked.
I would be befuddled if next September we have Jim Carrey as Joe Biden.
Somebody get caught on the SNL new season shorts. Premiere. Yeah.
I'm not here for it. But
I'm good no matter what. I'm good no matter what.
I don't know. I was here for it when the first time he did it.
Yeah.
I have grown increasingly more disenchanted with it. I'm just like, I don't think it's very fun.
I just meant as far as him doing it the rest of the season. I'm cool with whatever. Because at first when Alec Baldwin was doing Trump all the time, that did bother me. Because I'm like, well, he's fucking taking up so much time. And
right.
He's, you know, especially because he was doing two or three sketches sometimes.
Right.
An episode.
Right.
Well, shit, they used him last night in a couple of other episodes too. Just his random thing. Like the Aunt Jemima episode and stuff like that.
That was a great fucking sketch. Great sketch. Oh my God, that sketch was killer.
I'd be curious to know if the Dave Chappelle talking about
everyone, look at Pete Davidson's lips.
If that was part of it or not.
I don't think so.
I don't think it was either.
It was fantastic. That was such a killer sketch.
I feel like Dave is much more comfortable. Like he has, you know, Lorne Michaels has kind of said, hey, go do your thing.
You
know
do
I mean?
You, man.
Right. I'm not going to, you're coming back whenever. Go do whatever you got to do.
Well, it's like Dave Chappelle not only is just an obscenely, outrageously talented stand-up.
Yeah.
Like him on a stage by himself.
Yeah.
He is as good or better than everybody else.
Yep.
But put on top of it that he also ran the single funniest sketch show ever.
Right.
It's like this dude's a killer stand-up and a killer sketch comedian.
Yep.
If you're Lorne Michaels, you say you're in charge this week.
Totally.
Because I trust every sketch that you do could be iconic, and I trust your monologue. You don't even got to run it by me. Just go on stage and do you, man.
This was one of those weeks where, it's, you know, like, oh, I thought about SNL, but I'm like, all this going on, I just pictured a bunch of writers going, what the fuck are we supposed to do? We can't write any sketches. We have no idea. You know, it's just...
Well, that's why you bring in Dave Chappelle for this week.
Well, not only that, but I mean, I just picture people sitting there. Okay, we had the sketch, and we got 2/3 done. How does everything end? Like, it changes whatever you're doing for the entire show. I mean, it's everything.
Right.
So you would almost had to have
the attitude of the show.
I would figure they probably had to write for both sides, almost.
Well, I also think they didn't do a lot of sketches last night.
No, they did a lot of recorded stuff. Yeah.
But both Foo Fighters songs were
pretty long
songs.
Yeah. And I think you could also tell.
The Chappelle monologue was fucking 18 minutes, man.
Yeah.
Like, and then throw Weekend Update in there.
Right.
Like, I think they only did like four actual sketches.
And I think that was part of plan because they didn't have anything in the bucket.
Like,
you know,
how can you think to write?
Right. Yeah.
You know, but compare that to like Mulaney the week before.
We were all sketch.
Yeah.
Right.
It was like 12 sketches
right.
that night.
Right.
And they were fucking great.
Fucking
dude,
great.
The Headless Horseman sketch.
So good.
Was incredible.
So good, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
And the Times Square souvenir shop.
Oh, yes.
Musical.
Yeah, musical, yep. Yep. Yeah, those musicals are fantastic.
Oh, yeah, man.
I wonder if
that's my favorite part of Mulaney hosting.
Yeah, I was going to say, I wonder if he's going to start dreading those. Like, fuck, I got to write another musical every time I go on the show.
Oh, but everyone has been nails.
Oh, it's just amazing how, you know, I'm not a huge Broadway guy, obviously.
Oh,
but
I love Broadway.
I mean, I'm
a big musical guy.
Yeah, I appreciate it for what it is. But, you know, like I said, I know the hits.
Uh-huh.
And I know, you know, maybe a little less than, you know, top 10 type stuff.
Sure.
But the stuff he picks, I pretty much know every song. Like,
yeah.
You know, he picks the right song from the right play that you're like, oh, I recognize that. You know, oh, they're doing Suddenly Seymour.
Nails
I know
it.
That. You know, I mean,
nails
randomly
it.
Shit like that.
So
yeah.
Funny.
Yeah. One of my favorites is still, I think, probably the second one. Was the first one the lobster at the diner or whatever? The second one was at the airport, and it was the first time. And I forget his name. What's the new Asian cast member?
Bowen Yang.
He's fucking hilarious.
He is so funny.
And he was doing the, I forget what, oh fuck, what song was he singing? But he was like a stereotypical Asian. Oh, it was Suddenly Seymour. That's exactly what it was. It was Suddenly Seymour, but it was stereotypical Asian. It's like, if I cough, it's all over. It was hilarious. And first time I was exposed to him, and I've loved him ever since.
Yeah, he's Bowen fantastic. Yang's good, man.
He is so good at everything he does.
I am surprised he is still just a featured player.
Me too.
Because not only is he super funny,
yeah,
but they fucking use him a lot.
Yeah. Like, he's got some great update characters.
Yeah.
One of them was like a, I forget, some, you know, attaché to like some Asian embassy. Oh my God, it was so funny. He's so funny.
Yeah.
He is fucking great. And then I saw he was on, what's the Awkwafina show?
Oh, is he?
He was like her brother or something like that. Yeah, he's pretty funny on that.
Oh, too. Man.
He's pretty funny on that. But he kills it on SNL. He kills it on SNL. So, no, SNL's been, the last couple that we missed talking about, been solid.
Yeah, man.
Last night was way solid, I thought, too.
I would expect nothing less from Chappelle, but like, it still blows my mind how like, I have exceptionally high expectations for Dave Chappelle, and I have yet to be disappointed.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't get it.
Yep. I mean, and I love the way he can, not can, the way he does, draw you in with a real message,
uh-huh.
and then at the end to some random little, like, it's a joke, but at the same time, you don't realize it's a joke right away. Like, it takes a second to hit. Some of those lines sometimes that take a second to hit right away is some of my favorite stuff he does.
Well, he's just also, he's a really thoughtful person.
And I love that he's...
So he's, you know, like, even last night when he says in his monologue, he says, I can't even tell you the truth without a punchline.
Right.
Because you're not ready to hear it.
Right, right. It's like, yeah.
You're not wrong.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. But I love the fact that he's hosting SNL. He's doing, like you said, like a 20-minute monologue.
Yeah, it was 18 minutes. Like, that's a full stand-up.
And he's just trying shit out. He's not even...
Oh, yeah.
He's, like, working out a set.
He's just going.
I know. That's brilliance, and that's balls, and that's all kinds of stuff.
Right.
Oh, my God. It was so fantastic.
And not only is he, like, just trying stuff out, but he's also talking to... And this is the second time in a row that he's doing that while talking to a deeply divided America,
totally, yeah.
while wounds are still very fresh.
Right.
Like, the fucking balls it takes to do that
is
incredible.
Yep. Yeah, that was a, it was a long monologue, but it was very good. It was very good.
Oh, it was perfect. But it just goes back to the fact that, like, there just wasn't much in the line of sketches last
night.
Totally,
totally. Yep. Yeah, I would agree. I'm good. You good?
Yeah, man. I'm clear.
We're in a good place. You get everything out you need to get out?
I think so. And we'll have more Mando for next week.
It's a little longer than normal, but we had 2 weeks of shit to get to, so.
Yeah.
That's right. I'm good.
Yep. Well, we will talk to y'all next week.
Till next time.